Welcome to the podcast, Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, your host, and our focus is on mastering communication as an essential leadership skill so that you can command the room, connect with the audience, and close the deal in any context. After over 200 episodes, we are a top 1% podcast globally, thanks to you. So if you love listening to these conversations as much as I love sharing them with you, please take 30 seconds to leave us a five-star rating and review, or just go to the website, ratethispodcast.com/influence, and follow their super simple directions. Okay, today is a little different. I would love to dive in to how to answer one very simple question. And it is the question that seems to strike fear in the hearts of men, women, and anybody else on the planet or outside of the planet. No matter how deep your experience, no matter how deep your passion, no matter how deep your expertise or how high your title or role. And that is the question, so what do you do? Why is it that anytime somebody asks us this question, we suddenly turn into this mess of rambling jargon and laundry lists mixed and laced with a ridiculous number of fillers and ums and uhs as we try to figure out exactly how to tell people what it is that we do, much less why. Why is it so hard? Well, for starters, here's a hint. We're probably overthinking it. Why? Because, well, that's what we do best, right? We overthink things. We forget that this, of course, elevator pitch, as we so love to call it, is simply about sharing the value that we provide to the world, the reason that we go to work every day, paycheck notwithstanding. And of course, part of the challenge in that is that you can't state something that you can't articulate for yourself. You can't share something with others that we haven't fully identified. So first, we need to be able to identify our own value. What is it that we contribute? And then be able to hone it down to state it clearly and deliver it in a way that is compelling and convincing, not just in its accuracy, but in a way that shows that we love what we do, that we believe in what we do and what we create and what we produce and what we deliver. So today, I wanted to share with you a few of my all-time favorite 30-second pitches and deconstruct what makes them so powerful. Yes, I said 30 seconds. Yes, there are many different versions of elevator pitches, the two-minute elevator pitch, the round robin, everybody takes turns in a networking event over the course of 45 minutes sharing what it is. Maybe you're at a BNI meeting or a LATIP or some of the other various organizations where you're part of a chapter or a group and everybody takes turns. Or maybe you're just at a cocktail party or at a conference and standing over the stale pastries and dishwater coffee buffet table and chatting with other people. But either way, you still need to be able to achieve the same thing. You need to clearly state what you do in a way that shows that you believe it, you love it, so that others get it and ideally want to know more. So rather than the two-minute long version, we're going to focus on the 30-second version because the fact is you don't need more than that. No, you don't. I promise you, you do not need more than 30 seconds to make it crystal clear to others what value you provide and what they want to know more about, why they should want to know more, who you work with, etc. Then at the end of today and in the show notes, I will share a link with you to join me for an event, to join me for some resources where you can show up and actually work to hone, to practice your own elevator pitch so that it is easy to say, rolling off your tongue, easy to remember so you don't have to practice it 4,000 times in order to be able to drill it into your own skull, and easy to understand for everybody else. That sounds good, doesn't it? It really is just that simple. But most importantly, again, a good elevator pitch makes the listener say those three little words that we always want to hear. No, I'm not talking about I love you. We want them to say, I got that. And better yet, tell me more. And they can fill in the blank from there. Tell me more about this thing that you mentioned or about that. Who do you do this for? How do you do this? What do you charge? Whatever it happens to be, they will let you know what information they want to hear more about. So you're not just snowstorming them with all sorts of information that's not relevant where you left them in the dust a long time ago. Now, let's be clear. This is relevant whether you are a small business owner, whether you're an employee in a mega corporation, whether you are transitioning between jobs, maybe you're in between right now, or you're thinking about looking for your next opportunity, you're preparing for interviews. You need to build relationships with people. You need to initiate conversations, and you need to have people understand very quickly, very clearly what you do and why. The elevator pitch ultimately is establishing rapport. It's establishing rapport and opening the conversation in a way that makes the others want to continue that conversation with you, to like you, to understand you, to feel connected with you, because you haven't confused them and made them go, okay, my eyes are glazing over, where's the bar? Or where's the restroom? Or where's the whatever other excuse I can find because I'm already not enjoying this. How do we open that conversation and invite someone else into it with us? So I'll start with a version of my own elevator pitch. And I say a version, frankly, because it is okay to have more than one. Maybe you have one version that is for an industry-specific event where everybody is in your space. Maybe everybody's in construction, or everybody's in finance and asset management, or everybody's in law, or everybody's in fill in the blank. Or maybe it's a very open event. It's a, you know, women in leadership event, a chief event, or it's a local, I mentioned earlier, BNI, or one of those chapter events where the requirement for joining is that no two people in a particular chapter can be of the same industry. So there's no competition. So nobody does what you do. It doesn't matter. You can have different versions for different events. Again, the 30-second version, the 2-minute version, totally fine. The only challenge, of course, is that the more versions you have, the more versions you have to memorize and remember, which means they all have to be equally clear, crisp, and compelling. But back to where I'm going with this today, I want to share with you a version of my own elevator pitch, and we'll then deconstruct it so that we'll look at what I did, why I did it, why it works, and then we'll go into some other people's examples of very, very, very different businesses, very different industries, very different rules and organizations, but looking at how they're all following the same principles and why they're all effective, all right? So with that, I might start, before we even launch into something, with a question. So for example, have you ever had one of those moments where you're talking and you suddenly think to yourself, that sounded better in my head? Well, I fixed that. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, and I'm a leadership communication and influence coach. I work with senior leaders who need to share their vision with key stakeholders in a way that's clear, concise, and compelling in order to get everybody on board and rowing in the same direction to turn that vision into reality. That's it. That's all I need to say. Why? Okay, let's deconstruct what happened. First, remember the first 30 seconds, the elevator pitch, is just a hook. Is just the opener, is just the invitation to a longer conversation. So all you're trying to do is pique their interest, have something grab them, something they can relate to, something they can connect to that is interesting to them and helps them identify exactly what it is that they want to learn more about. So it has to be clear, it has to be simple, and it has to be value-driven. So if you notice, I started with a question, not even talking or introducing. I launched right into a question, so I made it about you. Have you ever had a moment where, what was the moment I referenced? Have you ever had a moment where you're talking and you suddenly think to yourself, that sounded better in my head? What a totally human condition. Everybody's had that moment. Notice that there's nothing technical or specific in that question. I'm just connecting with you. It's relevant to what I do, but it's just making people go, yeah, I've had that happen. And most people will laugh when I ask them that question because it's something we experience almost every day. And it's a frustration. So it's a pain point. There's an emotional connection with it. So once I've tapped into that little emotional connection, my follow-up is simply, I fix that. Well, what's that? people are going to fill in that pronoun, that variable, that blank with whatever they want. But whether it's a matter of that situation or I fix that emotional reaction that we have, that discomfort, that problem, the point is I make it go away. I teach you how to overcome it. But people infer what I need them to infer in a way that is immediately relevant and personal to their own experience. They make what I do about them. I don't even have to do it. It's a relatable problem and everybody wants to fix it. From there, I'll introduce myself. Don't forget to do that, please. I cannot tell you how many people launch into elevator pitches and never get around to saying their name or their company's name. So who are you? Don't forget, whether you put it right up front or you lead into it, doesn't matter, but please say your name. So I shared mine. Then I'll go from there into who needs to do what and why. So I work with senior leaders who need to share their vision. And that's what leadership at the top is all about. You have to have the vision that you want to turn into reality. And we need to get others on board to do it. Everybody needs to accept it, not just punch a clock and cash a check. We need people on board with the vision, rowing in the same direction. We need everybody in agreement with our mission and with our purpose and with their role in it, the motivation, et cetera. All of what's implied within that is understood in the notion of getting everyone on board and rowing in the same direction. Whether it's the board or your employees or your clients or your whoever else, doesn't matter. Again, you fill in those blanks. I just referenced key stakeholders. Okay, what else was important? I hope if you're listening to this and not watching the YouTube video version of it, you could hear that I was smiling. I love what I do. I'm passionate about this. This matters to me and I believe in it. I believe that it's something that you can relate to as well. So people need to A, see you smile as you're doing your elevator pitch. That's an important piece. And if they can't see you for whatever reason, you're on the telephone, for example, they need to hear it. And you can hear when someone's smiling. People want to do business with people who seem to like what they do. You don't want to do business with somebody who hates the grind of their job every day. I don't trust them to do it well. So that's a whole other statement and a whole other topic that we could talk about another time, but I think you get the gist. All right, let's look at the other side of it. What did I not do? I did not do a data dump on you. I did not open mouth, turn on fire hose and drown you in all of the different versions and services and kinds of things that I do. I did not share all of my service offerings. I did not go into detail on what my to-do list, my task list, or my calendar looks like every day. I didn't share tons of client examples. I didn't give you, there was no over anything. We can get into all that later, but remember, this is just seed planting in beginning. It's just the invitational opening. I also used conversational language. There was no jargon. There was no brochure speak. It didn't sound like I swallowed a brochure and was trying to go through all of the parts and sound extremely professional and go through all of the lists of the, if you're looking for something along these lines and those lines, we do our best to make sure that you never have to. No. I don't sound like I swallowed the brochure. This is conversational. Look, I've got a PhD in linguistics. I didn't A, mention that, or B, talk like that. It's just a conversation. I don't want you to feel like you're talking to a human thesaurus. I want you to feel like you're talking to a person that you would want to continue that conversation with. So keep it simple. Now, from there, of course, people will ask all sorts of different questions and they'll follow up as they want to. And then I can share additional details. I can share client examples. I can share stats. I can share case studies. I can share what I do, whether it's coaching, training, speaking engagements, workshops, podcasts, books I've written, the other resources that are available on my website. I can share with people how I do it, what my background is, what my approach is, my credentials. That can all come later. No one cares. In my space, at least, nobody cares about that up front. I want it to be about them. I want it to be interesting and get them to ask me about the rest. If they ask me about the rest, then they'll be more open to hearing it and understanding it. So it's the on-ramp to the conversation. That's all. So you have to be very judicious in deciding what must go first. because not everything can. It's like having a priority list. If you've got 12 items on your priority to-do list, you have no priorities. One priority. What goes first? Everything else can be important, but it has to come after that most important thing. All right, enough about me. Let's look at some other clients' examples and other colleagues' examples and deconstruct those. They're all in very different industries. Some are business owners, some are employees, all very different. So we're going to start with a client who I'll call Jennifer. And she was the head of IT architecture for a Fortune 100 company. Now, she has a title that has so many components and so many qualifications and so many extra clauses continued to it that she does not have a business card because it wouldn't fit. Her title literally will not fit on a business card. That's how ridiculously convoluted it was. So she actually came to me asking to work on a literal elevator pitch because she said to me, look, if the president of the company, and this is a company with tens of thousands of people in it, she said, if the president gets on the elevator with me, because she worked in the headquarters, and he looks at me and says, so what do you do for me? I don't know how to tell him without going into all of these details. And her original version of the elevator pitch was so complicated, so technical, so full of IT terminology, none of which made any sense to me. And I don't know if it would have made sense to the president either if the president hadn't come up through the IT ranks himself. So my eyes were glazing over pretty quickly, and I'm guessing most other people's would have been as well. And what's important to remember, what we had to drill down to first and foremost, is that he doesn't care about her to-do list. He's not interested in what tasks she completes for him. So what we distilled it down to, very simply, she was able to introduce herself, give her simple title or her status in the org chart of sorts, but otherwise, all she said to him was, I make sure that no matter where you are in the world, when you log on, everything just works. That's her value prop. That's why he pays her. That's why he needs her. That's why she's important. And you listen to that and you go, I get it. Okay. Thank you for doing that. And on behalf of all of our clients and all of our other employees, thank you for doing that. It's a clear, concise, simple value. That's it. No how, no what. He doesn't care, but he understands why he pays her. That's something he wants somebody to do for him and to do successfully. All right, next, I want to talk about Renee. And Renee is the co-founder of a pharmaceutical company. It's got its niche, et cetera. Now look, there's tons of pharma companies out there in lots of different specializations. And she could very easily get lost in truckloads of medical terminology and jargon, talking about her specialization, about the kinds of drugs it is, or the kinds of problems that she solves, and the kinds of ailments and technicalities, etc. Instead, she introduces herself, she introduces her company, and all she says is, we make your knees feel better. That's literally six words. We make your knees feel better. I love that. It's so easy. I get it. The value proposition is perfectly explicit. Her clientele is implicit. Who does she help? People whose knees hurt. Now, that could expand to other forms of arthritis or who knows whatever else. Again, I'm not in her space, but you get the gist. And you know it's more than that, but that helps you know what else to ask. Same thing where I said, have you ever had that moment where you're talking and you say, blah, blah, blah. People know that I do more than that, but they get the gist. And then they can ask more specifically about the technicalities of it. Same with her. Then with her, I'd make your knees feel better. I can ask as follow-ups, oh, that's interesting. How long have you been doing that? How big is your company? How far along are the drugs? Is it a brand that I would recognize in the stores? How far along are you in funding if you're a startup, or who are you looking for? I can follow up with all of that because I understand, even if I'm not her target client, either as a user or as an investor or as whatever else, I still get it. And I want to talk to her to understand more. Okay, let's go to case study number three, David. Now, by training, David is a lawyer. He's in the commercial real estate and banking space. And when we first met years ago, David told me that he's a specialist in one tiny little line of tax code, tax code number XYZ123LMNOP. And you know, he explained some more stuff. At this point, all I actively remember from that conversation is that he was a specialist. He's a lawyer and a specialist in some particular, singular, obscure line of tax code. Not super exciting. But now, when we talk, and when I've heard him do his elevator pitch, he says, and I love that this part does stick in my head, with a big old smile, he says, "I help commercial real estate investors trade Boardwalk for Park Place with real money." Love it. Why is that so awesome? Number one, it takes something that is ridiculously complicated and obscure and something that most people wouldn't inherently find exciting. I'm going to go out on a limb and project that on everybody else. But he takes that and he makes it fun. He makes it relatable. I'm guessing 99.9% of you out there recognize the reference to the board game Monopoly. Boardwalk for Park Place, trading. Those are spots on the Monopoly board, at least here in the United States, on the traditional Monopoly board. Everybody's played it. So it's relatable. You hear it, you get it, you get a little smile because your brain goes, oh, hey, I get that. Hey, yeah, I played that game too. There's a relatability, even though you're not necessarily in commercial real estate investment, et cetera. But you get it. And I love that his elevator pitch works whether or not you're a target client. Because if you are in that space, you go, oh, okay, wait, tell me more about how you do this and maybe you can help me. And if you're not in that space, you still go, you know what, that's interesting. I'm curious about, who knows, whatever else, but I relate to you. I'm interested in you. And I just want to talk more to you. And we'll figure out where the conversation goes. It works for experts and non-experts alike. You get the gist. And I do understand who your clientele is. I do understand what your industry is. He did not mention the word tax code. He did not mention that he was a lawyer. He did not get technical in any of those aspects. He can get into all of that later. He can give examples later. He can talk about buildings that he had a hand in one way or another later, projects. He can explain how he helps people do that later. But that simple elevator pitch makes him approachable and likable in one sentence. Doesn't even need the full 30 seconds. Again, it's a conversational opener that makes people want to learn more. All right, last but not least, let's talk about Jake. Jake's elevator pitch, I think, is my favorite, even though by all general estimates, it probably shouldn't be. Now, let's back up for a second. One of the biggest complaints I hear from people in trying to figure out their own elevator pitch is that they hold back because they're afraid that others will think that what they do is boring. They'll think I'm an accountant, it's boring. They'll think I'm a this, it's boring. And I use the example of accounting because it's always the accountants that I work with who are the first ones to put that out first and foremost. But here's the thing. It's good if they think your work inherently might be boring for them to do because then they'll hire somebody else to do it. That's what you want. So the key is that whether or not they think your active tasks are boring, they need to know that you don't think it's boring, that you geek out on that stuff, that you think it's fun. It's like putting a puzzle together, or it's fill in the blank with whatever metaphor you want. But you need to show that you love it. That's what makes them trust you, that you will be excited about doing high quality work and not just punching the clock, cashing the check, and dreading every document they have to open on your behalf. Now, back to Jake. Jake was a sales rep for a trash can and recycling bin manufacturing company. Yes, you heard it right. Trash cans and recycling bins. So again, I'm going to project on you out there that perhaps you might not feel like that's the sexiest of industries, that he might have had cause to fear that you might think that work is boring, or that you wouldn't want to learn more, that you wouldn't want to talk to him, that you wouldn't want to have extended conversation. Now, I met Jake at a Chamber of Commerce event. lots of people, all different industries. But what I loved best was that when I met him, he said his name, he introduced his company, and with a big grin, he said, "And I have the best job in the world because I get to talk trash all day." And I burst out laughing, as did everybody else in earshot. It was not complicated at all. Now, look, the product he sells is pretty darn simple. Now, there's probably more to it than that, but nevertheless, it's pretty easy to get. But his delivery killed it, meaning in the good way. His delivery was fabulous because what he said and the way he said it made me like him. I thought to myself, I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe I'm thinking this, but I want to hang out with the trash can guy. That would not have been my prediction walking in to that event. But what's his goal in any networking opportunity? It's to establish rapport with people, to open the conversation and make us think exactly what I claimed, what I stated that I thought a moment ago. Wow, I want to talk to you more. I like you. I just want to learn more about you. And by learning more about you, I will, of course, probably learn a little bit more about your company and about your services, and we'll see where that conversation goes. If I ever need trash cans for my office building, I certainly know who I will call. But he was successful in establishing rapport with people, in opening that conversation with a little bit of stickiness, making people want to continue it. Okay, so remember, it is okay to have two versions, one for the industry and one for non-experts, one for general use. But go back to these important pieces, how to make it relatable, how to not be too specific and too technical, how to make people just get the gist, not mentally could carry the one. He said these big words and those big words. I think I understand what you do. That's not the response you want. You want them to get it. It should be a reflex where their eyebrows kind of pop up for a second and they go, oh, yeah, got that. So if you would like help in making your pitch that easy, that relatable, that comprehensible, and that easy to understand and to say, for that matter, for both you and them, you want them to remember it and them to say it. I talk a lot about making things tweetable and repeatable. If they can hear it, understand it, remember it, and better yet, repeat it to others, then they can tell other people about you. Boy, isn't that a bonus? Because then you've got others marketing your materials for you. But nevertheless, if you would like practice and help learning how to do this, join me on my next event, which is what I like to call the Elevator to the Top. And it's a live pitch practice event. There's opportunities for some people for live coaching from me. There's opportunities for everybody to practice in real time, to get peer feedback. Let me tell you, there's nothing more valuable than watching other people pitch and get feedback. I guarantee you will learn even more from watching that happen than from getting help with your own, because you take away so many things without the emotional connection to it. And just light bulb moments going on right and left. I've run dozens of these Elevator to the Top events. They are a tight hour. There is tons of value in every minute. And of all the people that I have had at the event, when we debrief at the end, they all agree on three things. Number one, how much value they got out of it. The number of people who have said, that was so far beyond what I thought was possible, I got so much more value out of that than I ever expected. And I came in with decent expectations, but that was so much beyond it. So three agreements. Number one, how much value they got out of it. Number two, how much fun it was. And number three, how fast the time went. So if you'd like to join me on an Elevator to the Top event, there is a free event coming up soon. Look in the show notes for the link to check out that date and to register for the event. Join me on that Elevator to the Top. Get clear on your value, not just what you do. Get clear on why you do it for yourself and for them. And get clear on how to land it, the delivery, so that others connect with it and so that it resonates with them and with you. You want to make sure that you are confident when you say it and that others feel confident in listening to it in a way that makes them say, I got that. Tell me more. With that, Once again, thank you as always for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And again, if you love this show, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your platform of choice so that we can help even more people to increase their confidence, presence, and influence. And if you're not sure how to do that, go to the website ratethispodcast.com/influence and follow their super simple instructions. Finally, if you want to download my free guide to equipment recommendations for virtual influence, including my picks for microphones, lights, and more, go to speakingtoinfluence.com. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, and you're listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite.
Thanks for listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite, the show for leaders who want to speak with impact. The hosts, producers, owners, and media distributors of the show make no guarantees that the strategies and information discussed will result in profit or other success and may result in losses. The opinions and statements of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the owners, staff, managers, broadcasters, or sponsors of the show. No medical or psychological therapy or personal or professional wellness or relationship advice is offered in the show. You are advised to seek counsel on matters related to your health, family, relationships, job, or other business and legal matters from licensed advisors in those areas prior to making any changes in business or lifestyle. No information provided may be suitable in your situation. As always, take responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the reactions they may make in your work, family, health, and life.